Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Oh, man.
Sing it down low for him.
A lot of women in this day and age.
Yes, yes.
Well, again, I am excited. I'm glad that you made mention of that, because how many people know that sometimes change comes with pain?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So sometimes we hear things that we don't want to hear. And again,
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
How many know that change comes with pain?
Oh, my goodness.
And I say that because we've heard growing pains. And we thought, oh, that's just a cute cliche, but it has some validity to it. Because in order to grow, there's some pain. And so, again, as Minister LaDon said, there's some things that's going to be said tonight. And it is our heart's desire that instead of you running from the pain, that because it's gonna be some sad things said that's gonna give you that pain. I don't want to hear this. You know why we don't want to hear it? Because in order to hear it, it's gonna provoke thought,
mm-hmm.
and it's gonna cause us to have to make a decision. And most of us would rather stay unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And be unknowing
so that
we don't have to make a decision. So tonight, it's going to bring a level of exposure
uh-huh.
to some things that we've been doing all of our lives, just kicking on along, and we thought it was cool, and we thought it was okay to do it. But guess what? By God's Spirit and by the Word of God, not by Minister LaDon, not by Coach D, but there's some things that God is calling us out, to the people of God. But tonight we're going to talk. Is it okay for us to talk to the women of God?
Yeah, definitely it's going to bring a level of accountability and a level of responsibility. And those are two of the things that many people run from, not just women, but people in general run from, because once you become like aware of something, you're now accountable and responsible to do something with your awareness, do
mm-hmm.
something with the knowledge that you have. And like Coach D said, if I stay unconscious, I'm not required to do anything. I don't have to change. And so we are praying. We're definitely praying for you, because some of you guys may try and hang up the phone angry. If you're angry, we're talking to you. If you get hurt, we're talking to you, because God is going to expose some things. We're not intentionally trying to make anybody angry. We're not intentionally trying to hurt anybody this evening, but there's going to be some things that are going to be exposed in your own life that God is showing you, or God has been showing you, or God's been dealing with you on, and it's time for you to listen.
Amen.
And it's, and I'm not just talking to you, because as these words are coming out of my mouth, I'm talking to myself as well. So it's a scary place to be sometimes, because, again, we don't want to change when it's uncomfortable and when it's painful. But if you want to walk in the promises that God has placed before you, if you're saying you really want to be there and you really want what God has for you because you know it's for your good, then there are some things that have to and are necessary to change.
Yes, definitely. So, I don't know, Mr. LaDon, did you want to open in prayer? You want me to? Or how we want to do this to get these ladies ready? And only thing I'll say, because when I hear a word go forth that hurts me or I know it's pertaining to me, all I just say is hallelujah out. You know, because we're going to get our toes stepped on.
Yes.
And, but the thing about it is if you're getting your toes stepped on, take a look at that. Take a look at that and say, okay, that hurt me. Then find out, why did that hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
What was it about that revelation that hurt you? And then ask yourself, do you want to stay in the same place or do you want to grow? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you're at a plateau in your walk, if you're at a plateau in your spiritual walk, then you know, even with exercise, you know when you're exercising, you've been doing the treadmill for weeks and months, and you've lost a few pounds, you know, but you got to a place where you're at a plateau. You're doing the same thing. You're working just as hard, but you're not losing anyway. You can see that you're stagnant, and you're not growing. And so what a personal trainer would tell you is there's times in your exercise workout that you gotta throw your body into shock, because your body will get used to a certain thing and then it reaches a plateau. And when it gets to a plateau, that's stagnant. It's not doing anything else. And so a personal trainer would tell you, okay, what have you been doing? Well, I've been doing 3 miles on the treadmill for the last 3 months. And so what he may tell you, okay, no more treadmill. I want you to do some resistance training, because we got to shock your body. Your body's gotten too comfortable. Same thing with antibiotics. If you're on antibiotics for a long period of time, the risk that you take is that your body becomes immune to it and is no longer serving the purpose that it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to kill bad bacteria. That's what antibiotics do. But if your body becomes immune to that antibiotic, then that antibiotic is no more longer serving its purpose. It's no longer killing off those bacteria, because those bacteria that got used to it. So I'm saying to us in our walk, if you're stagnant, if you're still doing the same thing today that you was doing yesterday, then tonight's show is going to be a great show, because some of us could get stagnant. Everybody, the best of us, could get stagnant in our walk. Because guess what? We didn't got comfortable. We didn't got content.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the same old thing. Mm-hmm. We didn't got content with just going to church on Sunday and that being enough,
mm-hmm.
or going to Bible study on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't got content.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're stagnant. Our lives are falling apart. Our kids ain't behaving. You know, they misbehaving. Our spouses is not acting right. Our money is funny. Everything is going astray, and we're trying to figure out, but God, why? I don't get it. I'm paying my tithe. I'm going to church. I'm praying. But what? We're at a plateau, and God got to shake some stuff up, because there's maybe some areas in our lives that we need to take a look at. So without further ado, I think we've given everybody enough time, even in this intro, to get your girlfriends, get your friends, and get caught assigned on to the show on tonight. Is going to be a wonderful show, an excellent show, and again, we are looking forward to moving forward in this show.
Amen. You know, when you were talking, and I'm going to go into prayer, but when you were saying that you were talking about the antibiotics, and what hit me is something that I've heard my mentor say so many times, is that again, when you're in that place of being stagnant, that thing that is supposed to be producing change no longer has the ability to produce the change that it was supposed to produce. And so I feel like that's where we are with God's word in our life, so many of us. I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to you. God's word no longer has the ability. Not saying that God and his word doesn't have the ability, but we've closed ourselves off because we're so comfortable in this place of being stagnant, that the word that was set forth to produce change, to increase, to bring life, to grow things, no longer has that ability because we shut ourselves off to that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you want me to open with prayer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Father God, we come humbly before your throne, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this time, Father. I thank you for the revelation that will go forth, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the provoking that will go forth, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the uncomfortableness that is happening, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the pricking of heart, Father God, the pricking of mind, Father God, the pricking of our spirits, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are calling us to not stay in a place of being comfortable with things as they are, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that as a people and as your daughters, we've been crying out for more. We've been crying out for change. We've been crying out for different, Father God. And you are saying, here I am, Father God. You are saying, listen, Father God. You are saying there's some things that we are required to do, Father God. There's some things that we need to do, Father God. And you're saying that we have the ability, you've given us the ability, you've given us the capability of doing it, and you're calling us to get up and to do it, Father God. So I thank you, Lord, that even though some things are going to be uncomfortable, even though some things are going to cause pain, Lord Jesus, that you are there, Father God. You are there in those times of uncomfortableness, Lord Jesus. You are there in those times of pain, bringing comfort, Lord Jesus. And that you are saying, at all times, keep our eyes focused on you, Father. Keep our minds focused on you, Lord Jesus. To not pay attention to the world and where the world would call us to, where the world would have us stay, but to pay attention to where you have placed us, Lord Jesus, where you're calling us to be, Father God, where you're calling us to reign, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we decide that we are going to grow, Father God, we make the declaration that we are ready to grow, that we are going to grow, Father God. We thank you that you will not allow us to stay where we are, Father God. We thank you that you are making it so uncomfortable for us to be there, Father God, that you're stripping away friends, Father God. You're stripping away security blankets of pain, Father God. You're stripping away all the drama. You're stripping away all the covering so that we're exposed, Father God, and so that the only thing that we have to do, Father God, left is to grow, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for this the time of going through, Father God. We thank you for the time of being out on the other end, Lord Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, we are back. That was such a beautiful prayer. It's a spirit, it's a precious spirit in the studio on tonight. And we just pray that that spirit will arrest your hearts and your souls on tonight, and that it will just begin to do a good work, that it will begin to just tear away at the limestone that has built up around your hearts and your mind and the heaviness that some of you are facing as you deal with your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And it's become a burden and it's become a pain. And so the prayer is that those that the anointing, which is the very presence of God, will begin to break the yoke. Because it says the anointing that breaks the yoke. So let's just break that down. It's the very presence of God in your life that begins to create a spirit of deliverance. It's the very presence of God in your life that breaks the yoke, the burden.
You know, as you say that, all I see is solution. We're crying out for the answer to all of these problems. We're trying to answer them ourselves through works or through different acts. Well, maybe if I do this or maybe if I do that. And I hear when you say it's the very presence of God, it's that anointing that brings about the solution. And solution is such a peaceful place to be. When you have the answer to the problem, you know, you how you get all excited and you get filled with so much joy. It might be something on your job, and you're like, how am I going to get this resolved? And then when you get to the solution,
you get a resolve.
You get excited.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's time for us to get excited, because whatever you've been crying out for in your spirit, wherever you've been crying out for God to take you to that place, resolve is here. Solution is here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to start with Esther. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And you know what I'm going to do, Coach D? I'm going to ask that as we do this show, that you minister to me, that I am your audience and you are my audience. As we deliver this word,
glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You are so worthy, Lord, and we just thank you. And I just want to be obedient to the movement of the Spirit, because we get on each week and we minister a word. We sacrifice.
this time to bring forth the word so that women could be healed and that they could be whole and that they could run the race that's before them.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that every week. And what people don't realize is when you – everybody talking about they want to be a boss, be
uh-huh.
a boss, but everybody don't want to do what it takes, the sacrifice to be a boss,
mm-hmm.
to be a leader. And so when you want to be your own boss, I want to own my own business, I don't want to work for somebody, what you basically saying is I want problems.
Mm.
I want problems because what a manager do, well, let me get beyond a manager because a manager solves problems, but they solve somebody else's problems.
Mm-hmm.
A leader, see, a manager's told what to do. I need you to do this and I need you to do that. I need you to manage my problem.
Mm-hmm.
So a leader is the one that tells the manager, I need you to manage my problem.
Mm.
I'm saying this to say that for those of you listening in, I love you, and I thank you for your support, and I thank you for tuning in every week. I thank you for being willing to grow and support the vision of woman to woman. But I'm going to tell you, it has been nothing short than a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge because trying to get people to support, trying to get people to buy into the vision, trying to get people to be willing to own their own stuff
mm-hmm.
and to grow and to process through your stuff is hard. Because, again, as we said earlier, people don't want to know because there's a accountability in the knowing,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to know. I don't want to know that he's cheating
uh-huh.
because if I find out he's cheating, I'm going to be forced to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be forced to either stay with this cheating man or I'm going to be forced to have to leave this man I love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know that shacking up against the very will of God
mm-hmm.
because in order for me to know that that is a sin and is against God, then I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to have to make a decision, do I have to pay my own rent?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to make a decision, is he going to go live with some other woman?
Mm-hmm.
Because now he can't live with me.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going this night. Because a lot of times when you have to make a decision, you don't even want to speak up. You'd rather stay in that place of comfortability because of everything that you think you might lose. Because now that you have to be accountable and responsible, when you take that accountability, and first when you take that accountability, you can say, I can be accountable, but who wants to be responsible?
Mm. Mm.
I was accountable to do it, but I wasn't responsible. So-and-so was responsible. Who wants to be responsible?
Exactly. Exactly. We don't want to own our own stuff. We don't want to know. And you know the word, and the word of God is amazing that He says, "To he who knows and does it, to him is sin."
Mm-hmm.
And so, the enemy, most of y'all don't even know the Bible good enough to know that scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what the enemy knows the word of God. He knows the scripture.
Yes, he does.
And so, what the enemy has done to us is unbeknownst to us. He has put that in us. Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know that. Don't go there because you're going to find out something. And you might not even knew the scripture, but he knew it. So now you don't want to know because if you don't know, then you can't help be held accountable.
Exactly. Exactly.
But even in that, there's another scripture that says that in the end, that every knee, every tongue should confess and every knee. So in other words, everybody's going to know. You ain't going to have an excuse for not knowing.
Amen.
You're not going to have an excuse for not knowing because it's out there. It's prevalent. The word is out there. It's on TV. It's on radio. It's at every corner. The word is out there. So we're not going to have a reason or excuse for not knowing. You, whether you're on the show listening tonight or you contemplated listening to the show tonight, doesn't matter. Because you're still going to be held accountable for your decision not to listen because you didn't want to know or you was too busy or you didn't have enough time.
Amen, amen. You know, like I said earlier, we're going to be a little bit all over the place in bringing forth what God wants us to bring forth this evening. But when you were talking about knowing and accountability, I wanted to share this scripture, and I'm going to give it in the New Living Translation, and it says, it's Proverbs 4:7, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. I'm also going to share it in the King James Version. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Because when we can get to a place where we relishing knowledge, because the word says my people perish from lack of knowledge, lack of understanding.
Mm.
When we can get to a place where we relish knowledge, then we can get to a place where we're not going through all of this different chaos. We're not going through all of the different situations in our life where it's bringing so much pain and so much suffering. And so, again, we're tying this all back into our stories about Queen Esther and our stories about Abigail, because these were two very wise women. But in order for them to become wise women, they had to get to a place where they sat still and they listened and they sought after knowledge. But not only did they seek after knowledge, because you can get knowledge, but it doesn't do you anything until you have understanding with your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and then it can grow into wisdom. And I'm saying all that to say, as we're going through our life, as we're going through these different situations in life, and we're turning our backs because we don't want to know, because when we know, we'll have to do something with it. Don't you know we can eliminate half of the issues that we go through, especially when we go through them over and 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 over again, by getting that understanding in the first place, dealing with that wisdom, that knowledge in the first place, so that we can say, ooh, I know what this is. I don't have to walk in that direction. I don't have to step in the mud this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to step in a puddle this time. So, again, this show is about becoming wise wisdom, walking in that courage, because, again, when you become accountable and responsible, it's going to take some courage at times to stand up for who and what God is calling you to do.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. Amen. Which Esther did. And for all of you that don't know the story of Esther, I'm just going to break it down really quick, and then we can get into some nuggets on it. But Esther was a Jewish lady who was raised by, or Jewish at the time, child who was raised by her cousin, Mordecai. And Mordecai basically groomed. Esther was beautiful. She was just very beautiful. And because of the beauty that God gave her, her beauty got her favor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know, because we have in today women who are beautiful, and we have women that are humble with their beauty, and we have women that's not humble. We have women that's using their beauty to get favor, the wrong kind of favor. But in this case, Esther, God allowed Esther's beauty to get favor because God had a plan. Little did Esther know, God had a plan. So because of her beauty, she in essence ended up marrying the king at the time, and she became the queen. So she was a Jewish queen to a Persian country,
mm-hmm.
which is unheard of. So she was a Jewish queen, and you know normally in kingdomship and queenship is passed down, and you keep it within your own culture and your own people. So for her to be a Jew and take on that, her beauty allowed her to have favor with the king, and he married her, and she became the queen. And it's obvious that she had favor not just with God, but she had favor with that man.
I'm so happy that you brought out the point of her beauty, because we're going to tie this all up and wrap it in a nice, beautiful bow for you in the end. Just stay with us, stick with us. But women of today, there's so many issues that we go through when we sometimes we're in battle with each other because we're trying to see who can be the prettiest, and it's causing so much strife and grief among us. But don't you know that in order for Esther to even be able to become queen, at that time, her husband had a different wife who was beautiful. She was so beautiful when the king was having a feast, he asked her to come to the feast just so he could show off her beauty. Mm. And she decided she didn't want to. And so she got put away, and she got stripped of her title. She got stripped of her position. And so I'm just bringing that out because, again, we're relating these stories back to where we are today. And women, sometimes we feel like we got to compete with everything out there, everything in a skirt, everything that's opening their legs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To keep our man, to keep our relationship, and so we won't stand according to who God has called us to be. We'll compromise, or that's when we say, you know what, I don't want to know if he's cheating or not, because if I know if he's cheating, then I have to do something with that knowledge. I have to do something with that information.
Yes.
And so I wanted to just bring out, because you had brought up that she was beautiful and that she wasn't beautiful in a sense of she was vain, but she was very humble with her beauty. We don't have to try and be like everybody else out there. And beauty is definitely in the eye of the beholder. We think that's a cliche, and we've allowed ourselves to get away from that. But let me tell you who first beheld you, and that was God, the first beholder. And remember, he's the one who gave her favor. Esther had favor with God and with man.
Yeah.
And when you have favor with God and he gives you favor with men, it doesn't matter what you look like. Because when you look like what God designed for you to look like and called for you to look like, it's all beautiful.
Amen. That is true. Because there's nothing like the confidence of a woman that brings out the beauty in her.
Amen.
And that's not even external, that's internal. And so anyway, Esther became a queen, and as a result of her becoming a queen, there was this man, a wicked man, as they call him, that was irritated. She's not a Persian woman. She's a Jewish woman, and so he just basically came up with a plan that he was going to have all the Jewish people annihilated. He's going to have them killed off. And Esther got wind of it. Mordecai learned of the plan, and he shared it with Esther and challenged her with these. He challenged her, and he said, you know, basically, let me just tell, Mordecai was the cousin that raised Esther since she was a little girl, and so now she's in position, and he brings to her a situation that she has the power and the authority to change. And so when he brought it to her, I could only imagine her thing was like, ain't got nothing what that got to do with me. You know, and so Mordecai had to remind her who she was a little bit, because that's a fearful thing. I don't want to get involved. They supposed to kill all you guys. I don't want to be killed. And so he said, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Don't you think for one minute that God has blessed you just to bless you?
Amen.
Don't you think for one minute that the job that you're on or the home that you're in or the nice car that you're driving was just because you wanted it? You don't know why God has given that to you. It could be for just a season. I'll give a perfect example of that. It's people that's out there praying for a beautiful home. And then they get this beautiful home, 3, 4, 5, 6 bedroom. They get this beautiful, Holy Spirit. They get this beautiful home. And then all of a sudden, somebody in their family, a friend,
finds himself homeless, put out, needing a place, and what's the first response? Because I've been there.
No.
How
long you need to stay?
I'm not, that, I ain't fit to, I don't need that mess in my house. And I'm not saying that God told you to brought that person, but I'm saying just consider that. That maybe God gave you that house, not necessarily just for you and your immediate family to enjoy, but maybe he blessed you with that house for you to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that Esther was put in a position to be a blessing to her people. And as a result of her Mordecai encouraging her, she decided that she was going to do a fast and pray for deliverance for the Jewish people. So when God put on her that she needs to fast and pray, she basically told her people, look, Mordecai, go tell the people. This is what I'm going to do from the inside. You make sure the people do what they need to do from the outside. Because if I'm petitioning the throne from the inside and they petitioning the throne from the outside, I believe that God's going to come in and he's going to do some stuff.
How many times do we get into situations and this is not the first thing that we go and do?
Mm-mm.
We cuss everybody out before we even start fasting or praying. We start duking it up. We start, you know, searching for evidence of issues, searching for evidence of challenges instead of going straight in to fast and pray and get direction from God.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying, God, I want your direction. I need you to help me find a solution. I need you to help me find an answer.
That ain't what we say. When it first happened, the first thing we say, I ain't going to put up with that. I need this, and I need that, and he ain't doing this, and they, she ain't doing that. Lord, I know you don't expect for me to put up with this. And pretty much like Esther did when Mordecai came to her first and told her what the plan was about the killing of the Jews. No, I'm in the palace now. I'll make sure my family is okay.
You'll still be alive.
Yeah, but
get the rest of
them. I'm not supposed to jeopardize my job trying to get you a job.
Amen.
I'm not gonna help you. I'm not gonna help you get a job through my job. You ain't supposed to mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people do.
Or like you said, throw away that relationship that they swore up and down God called them to.
Exactly.
You didn't call me to this mess. Bye.
So, saying all that to say, we see, if you can, I can see how Esther was, her life is a mirror, a reflection of some choices and decisions I made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My first response, I got mine. Now you better go get yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying that blunt, but we don't even have to be that bold about it. It could be something as simple as somebody telling you, I'm getting ready to get evicted out of my place. And you hear, oh, girl, I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you, sister. Let's pray. You pray. And, girl, I'm praying for you. If you need prayer, call me. You ain't now one time said if you need a place to stay. You know I got a place. But we'll pray for them in a minute. Somebody hungry. Ooh, I'm praying for you. I'm hungry. I'm praying for you. But guess what?
And then they walk away and don't even pray.
Yeah, and guess what? You pray for a hungry person? Really? You pray for a hungry person? That's good and all. But what about the hunger?
Mm.
When do we stop, Christians, us good Christians? When do we stop and really just take a look and say, this person's hungry, let me feed them. This person's cold, let me give them clothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This person's displaced. Let me give them shelter. You know, I'm the first to say that I'm not a good roommate type of person, honestly. My success with roommates have been very unsuccessful. It always ends in, it generally ends in a not good place. And so sometimes we may not be able to open our doors for people to come stay with us. But do you have enough? Can you help them find a place where somebody may have open arms? Or do you know, can you purchase them a hotel room for a couple of nights to help them out? What can you do to help the situation? Faith, they said faith without works is dead, so you could pray in faith, but where's the works?
Amen.
Esther had to fast and pray. She had to fast and pray, but then it just didn't stop with her fasting and praying, because then it goes on to say that after she fasted and prayed for so many days, that she finally went to the king. And she made her request known.
Mm-hmm.
And what the fasting and prayer did is prepared the king's heart.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And I know I keep jumping in, but how many times do we get ourselves into situations or we find ourselves in a situation and we never communicate? We never make our request known, and then we're mad at the world. We're mad at you, mad at your sister because she should have known. She should have known what you needed or what you wanted. You shouldn't have to ask her, could you borrow money? She should have just offered. How come she didn't offer? She knew you needed the money you put out and nobody offered. And you never asked. You never made your request known.
No. Mm-hmm.
Or you in a relationship and you don't make your request known. How many of us find ourselves in those relationships where I need to talk? And you talking to everybody else except for the person you're in a relationship with. And now your relationship is falling apart. And they should have known. How dare they not know? Or even making a request known and it's not heard and you don't do something about it. And it's going back to that accountability and that responsibility. I'm taking it back to getting wisdom, getting understanding, and once you have it, do something with it. So Esther had to go to the king, and she had to make her request known.
No, but in doing so, so the question on tonight for Esther, and we're going to move on to Abigail because we want you guys to get Abigail tonight, but for Esther, the thing about it is God gave Esther favor. She had favor. And he put her in a, God knew what was coming up. Esther and Mordecai didn't. But God put her in a position. And so all Esther seen her position initially was, ooh, I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. But we need to stay mindful that God blesses us to be a blessing. And you don't know when the season will come where the very thing that God blessed you with is the very thing that you're going to have to use to bless somebody else.
Uh-huh.
I once was told by someone that the way they live their life is that they never obtained anything that they wouldn't be willing to give away if God told them to give it away today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that. And in my own selfish, humanistic way, I was like, ooh. It's, you know, because I thought there's things that I desire and I want or I have that, I mean, that I would, sure that I would do that. And I'm just keeping it real. You know, I know some of us are super duper spiritual, and when God says go, we go. But I said to myself, wow, I don't know if I would be able to do that. I don't know if God told me to give my car to somebody, if I would give my car to somebody. And so you have to start, but it provoked thought in me. It provoked thought in me, and it made me start questioning, is God really God in my life?
Exactly.
Do I really trust God? See, I had to ask you don't want nobody to ask you those kind of things because you don't want to have to deal with them to give away something that's precious to you. Abraham.
Or give up.
Abraham had to put his son on the altar, and that was his promised son. But he had to do that. And most of us is like, you know, we don't want to have to give up something that's precious to us. I don't want to have to give up this relationship. I know we ain't married, but I don't want to have to give it up. I don't want to have to give up these cigarettes. Oh, I know it's not healthy, but I don't want to have to give it up. I don't want to have to give up the drugs, excessive drinking. Ooh, because, you know, this is my only peace of mind. Not, this is not an attack. I'm just saying, what are those things that God is telling us
I want
for such a time as this?
Mm-hmm.
Esther, God gave her something. And then when he came back, he says, for such a time as this. And I thank God that maybe her first response was like, ooh, Lord, but that's okay. He know we human. And he knows the constant battle with the flesh. It's not what your first response is. Was she willing to be obedient? Was she willing to repent? Was she willing to turn that thing around? And she was willing to get in line with what God was doing. This was a God moment. And she was willing to be a part of the God moment to make it come to pass. That God has to use us. He uses us as vessels to bless his people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about the conversation that we had earlier today when we were talking about willing to be obedient. And a lot of times we say that we're willing to be obedient, but when we get into that place where we have to make a sacrifice and it hurts too much, I don't want to let this go, or it's going to expose something about us,
mm-hmm.
you know, am I really willing to be obedient? Am I really willing to say, you know what, oh, gosh, I cheated.
Woo.
Am I really willing to say, you know what, I lie. I'm going to pretend like you're the liar. I'm going to pretend like you're doing everything wrong. So that I don't have to expose myself. And sometimes God will call us to expose ourselves, and I'm like, I don't want to be naked in front of everybody. I don't want people to know. How many of us out there are not, we say that we're willing to be obedient. But in order for us to get to where God is trying to take us, in order for us to get what we've been crying out to God for, we have to be willing to be obedient.
That's it. And you said a key right there. You know, for Esther to do what her people, what her uncle, what her cousin was telling her to do, it was going to require her to expose herself as a Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to require her to expose her heart because her heart was for her people. And she was taking a risk because to go before the king and make a request known, that was you didn't do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You didn't. And then you was making a request known that exposed who you were. So she could have risked getting like the other woman, getting put out the castle.
And we know he wasn't above putting people out the castle
because he had just put his other beautiful wife away. So it's not like she was taking a risk. And she was trusting completely in God, and everything that she had thought she had got, she was willing to lose. She was willing to lose everything she was willing to lose everything to save everything.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a good story about Esther, and I'm glad that hopefully was a reflection that each one of you listening in was able to take that story and really walk with it and apply it and see how it maybe helps you with areas of your own life. You know that, you know, how many of us have had our Esther moments where we didn't want to be exposed? How many of us have had our Esther moments where God blessed us to be a blessing? And maybe when we were getting that thing, all we was thinking about was self.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm getting me a house. Oh, I'm getting me a car. But we didn't know, we had no clue that a year from now, 2 years from now, that we may have had to body up in that house, that we may have had to help somebody, that we may have had to go over and above. So Esther, I think, is a good story and is a good reflection to us that, that sometimes we have to give up everything.
And the last thing I want to point out about Esther and relate it back today is that sometimes, and not even sometimes, God is always calling us to be a blessing, because when he created you as a blessing. But in our blessing, we're required to be who God created us to be. And so that means sometimes we're not supposed to move on our beliefs, our morals, and we find ourselves compromising in order to stay where we are, in order to keep what we have, in order to not risk losing what we have. And so right now I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to other women out there where God has called you to stand your ground. God has called you to be who he created you to be. He's called you to say no. He's called you to say yes. He's called you to say, I will not move. And it's not a comfortable place to be because you can risk losing everything that you think you have. But don't you know you are not risking losing what you think you have, not getting everything that God has called for you to have?
Yeah. Yes, what are those things that we are willing to compromise on? And I mean, Minister LaDonna, we can't get into Abigail.
Oh, really?
No.
Are we at the end of the show? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, Esther was just so rich.
Amen.
It was so rich with content that really applies to, you know, many of our lives and things that we're going through or have experienced. And Abigail is going to be great, too, and we're going to have to hit Abigail. Poor Abigail, we've been dragging her, but she's going to be, her story is going to be amazing, and it's going to deal with some of us, too. But we definitely got Esther, and that was definitely a good word, and it was a good reflection. And hopefully we'll be able to get to Abigail soon.
Mm-hmm.
So it passed so quick. We are at the end of the show, and we really want to be able to respect those of you listening in that knows our show is from 7 to 8. And it's just been great. If you are listening in this evening and you have a comment or a question about the life of Esther and what was discussed on tonight, and even if it blessed you, you know, we want to hear. We won't know unless you tell us. So if you are listening in on tonight via the live studio, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment or a question about tonight's series on Esther. We're glad that you're tuned in on tonight. Again, you can dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. And we do. We thank everyone for tuning in on tonight, and we hope that you join us again next Tuesday as we explore Abigail. And then also this Thursday, please join us for Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I am excited for Thursday's show as well. I always know that we try to bring great nuggets to our listening audience. Great nuggets, great guests, great words, great personal experience.
Amen.
Application, amen. Orientation, theory, practical. So, anyway.
Amen.
We know that we love and appreciate you, and we just pray that the show will continue to be a blessing to you as you continue to be diligent and obedient with your support of the show by listening in. But more importantly, tell someone else you think that could be blessed by the show. Have them tune in on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and let them, allow them to hear the words and be blessed as you have been blessed. Again, we thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you next week.
Good night, and we love you, and you are highly favored and appreciated. Thank you.
Songs of love. Songs of love.